Mr. Irrelevant. I love it. There was something so special about that video when I saw it. I was so encouraged by it because I love an underdog story. I love it. There's nothing like it to me. Someone who was counted out, has no potential, you know, seemingly in the eyes of man, but yet comes back and does something so great. I love it. And so when we were preparing and prepping for this, you know, message, I was like, man, this is such a great story. And I was like, babe, I shared the video with him. I was like, what do you think about this? He was like, yeah, that's such a great video and so great because it fits in so well with who we feel like over the next couple of weeks, God really wants us to use as our case study, our character study. And it's David. And who else in the history of the Bible was counted out more than David? Mr. Irrelevant. And so I'm really excited about this. One of the things I loved about that video, though, is I loved hearing them say how he was for the team, that he did whatever was best for the team. And now, even now in the NFL, his teammates, they interviewed his teammates and they said, man, Brock is not a hotshot quarterback. He doesn't try to do, you know, like make the game plays or all those kind of stuff. He gets the ball to the game players. He gets the ball to those people. And I love that because as Christians, do we value other people like that? Am I in relationship with you just because, you know, I'm better than you? Because I got it all figured out, because I'm perfect, or are we in relationship because we're doing life together? So I love that as a team, that's what God called us to do. One of the things that ESPN wrote about him, and I'm sure they're eating their words, is this. They said, Purdy doesn't stand out in terms of size, athleticism, arm talent, accuracy, or mobility, and projects as a backup to the pros. Guess what? This backup, Mr. Irrelevant, did. He won 6 games because the first 2 quarterbacks for that team, they ended up getting injured. And so in the season, he won 6 games. He was called up to service and he won 6 games for his teams and 2 postseason games. 2 postseason games. Mr. Irrelevant obviously was putting in work when everybody was calling him Mr. Irrelevant. And so that's us, church. That's us. God has called us to put in some work when nobody's looking. In those seasons of life where we feel overlooked, where we feel devalued, God is really doing something below the surface. He's really working on the deep things. And so today I want to read 1 Samuel chapter 16, not all of it, just 1 through 13. And I want to read this together. If you're following along, you can read on the screen, or you can read in your Bible. Take lots of notes. Look at my Bible, all kinds of notes and highlights. It's just, you know me, cramming for a test. It says, now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with oil, olive oil, and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. But Samuel asked, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Take a heifer with you, the Lord replied, and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came out trembling to meet him. What's wrong? May asked. Do you come in peace? Yes, Samuel replied. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Let's keep reading. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by the appearance of height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one that the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse summoned Shimeon. But Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. In the same way, all 7 of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel asked, Are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the field watching the sheep and the goats. I want you to write right there in your Bible, whatever you're taking notes on, I want you to write overlooked, right there. Overlooked, overlooked, right there. He wasn't even asked. He wasn't even considered. There are some of you in this room today who feel that way. You've not even been invited to the party. And God said, it's on purpose. Come on, church, today. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down until he arrives. So Jesse sent him, and he was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took the flask of olive oil that he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. That story fires me up because it's an underdog story. And those of us who know the story of David, we project, okay, I see what's happening. I know where we're going from here. But let me tell you something. God did a deep work inside David before he ever presented him in public. And there's some of us in here who feel so overlooked and so devalued that we're like, I really don't believe God could use me. And I want you to know something, that a couple of months ago, I started praying for you and fasting for you. And what I really believe God is saying is I want to expose some things inside of you that you have discounted yourself, but really I have already qualified you. I've already called you and you are mine. And so I'm really excited today about getting into this message. And in this series, I really do feel like the Lord is going to show us some of the areas of our life where the enemy has tried to hook us with the spirit of rejection, really and truthfully with the spirit of rejection. If you wouldn't mind, will you throw that tree up on there? At the very top of that tree, you can see the leaves and the branches. And then I want you to see those, we want to call those the behaviors. Okay, so when we think about our life in terms of who we are and why we do what we do, I want you to look at the very top, and above the surface is our behaviors. Below the surface is what's really going on. It's what's really going on. That very tree and that root system of rejection feeds those behaviors. So what we see in public is not actually what's going on. Does that make sense? What we see and the way that we react is not actually what's going on. We have to take a closer look down deep. And I think using David as a case study is so powerful because David did a lot right. He did a lot wrong. In either case, God used his life still. And so there's always hope for us, always hope for us. But every little limb is connected to a bigger limb that's connected to a bigger limb that goes down into the trunk, down into the tree. And below the surface is where we want to be for the next 7 weeks. For the next 7 weeks, we're going to stop looking at surface level stuff and we're going to go a little deeper. If you were with us in the summer and you were with us during the rise and fall of Saul, that we talked a lot about the behaviors in that series and a lot about the outward manifestation. But this series, we're going to go deep, like Richie said. And what I am confident of and what I truly believe is that God has called us to walk in healing, spirit, soul, mind, and body, all of it. And I know this because he's already affirmed this inside of me, that if you're willing to put in the work, faith and works over the next couple of weeks, there's some deep places of healing that are going to come because of this series. When I was kind of diagramming all of this and kind of laying out all my notes, I thought about, and I know this sounds weird and this is how my brain works, but I thought about WebMD, right? And how when you look up something on WebMD, first of all, it says you have cancer for like a stubbed toenail, but like, right? So don't look up anything on WebMD. But when you look something up on WebMD, it gives you the signs and symptoms, right? And then below that, it gives you the cause, and then it gives you the treatment. So that's how we're going to walk through the next few minutes, okay? Signs and symptoms, the root cause and the treatment, okay? So signs and symptoms, if you want to throw that slide up there, yep, signs and symptoms. Let's talk about kids for a second. Kids who have feel overlooked, our children feeling overlooked, we as children feeling overlooked. I want you to think about this for a second. The way that this manifests, the behavior, it comes out in rebellion. It comes out in rebellion. It could be rebellion in just obstinance, like I'm gonna do what I wanna do and it's quiet, or it could be outward, complete rebellion, walking away. If you start to see, as a parent, you start to see your child experiencing what I would call rebellion, or walking through rebellion, or acting out in rebellion, the behavior, let's take a deeper look at that root system. What's going on? A lot of times what you're gonna find is that kid is feeling rejected. And why are they feeling rejected? Could it have been something I said? Could it have been something that's going on at school? In any case, having the ability and having the foresight and the wisdom to not react in your flesh and discipline, man, if you sass me one more time, instead of taking a step back and going, Lord, I see that my child is acting in rebellion right now. Show me what's going on below the surface so I can minister healing in this moment. Maybe you slapping them across the face is not what they need. Maybe in that moment they need a hug. And that's the hardest thing as a parent. When your child deserves to get a tongue lashing and you listen to the Holy Spirit and you just say, and he says, just be quiet right now and pray. Man, there is something so powerful in that, because what you're doing in that moment right there is you're posturing yourself and you're saying, I'm not in control, Lord. And for me to act outside of that, I would be damaging my relationship with my kid. So at this moment right now, I defer to you. Show me what to do right here. You may need to apply a healthy, godly discipline in that moment, but at the same time, you also may need to reach out in love and just give a hug. So that's one of the signs and symptoms you're gonna see when kids feel overlooked. In relationships, sometimes the way that this comes across is offense. We become offended. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We become offended by something that we were either not privileged to, we were overlooked. You know, where I personally hear about this more than anything is when people say, hey, I saw so-and-so and so-and-so hanging out on Facebook, but they didn't invite me. I hate that crap. You guys know this. It's crazy. It's crazy that we get jealous of things like this, or we get upset about stuff like this. Why wasn't I invited? Overlooked. Feeling in relationships like I deserve more. You should have considered me. Why wasn't I considered? So the way that it comes out is sometimes in offense. But I want to go back to this. That is the behavior. The behavior is offense. What comes out of that is stonewalling, avoiding, I don't want to speak to you. What comes out of that is all sinful, because it's manifested, and because what's happening is the root of that is rejection. I feel rejected in this moment. Instead of recognizing it and saying, Lord, what I'm feeling is left out, but I know that it's for a purpose and that you're doing something deeper inside of me. When we can get to that point, church, we stop walking around defensive or blocking people. Everybody stay at arm's length, and we become vulnerable. Remember we talked about that last series? This is one of the ways that we do that. I keep my heart open. Even though I may have been hurt, I can still be open to whatever God has for me. And I don't wanna block out relationships in my life just because I could possibly maybe one day get hurt. I have to be open to let God do what he's gonna do. The next thing is with God. There are many, many, many times where you're gonna have an opportunity to be offended at God. And the behavior of that is falling away. We start to fall away. We stop reading the word like we should. We stop praying like we should, because we're hurt. A lot of times in my life, the way that I've seen this happen is that you should have God. That's Lord, you should have. I prayed for my kid's protection and you should have protected her. I prayed for her healing and you should have healed her. But in those moments right there, right in that moment right there, the best possible thing for us to do is to just sit at his feet and just seek him and just say, okay, Lord, I don't get it and I don't understand, but I'm not gonna fall away because of what I think you should have done. I'm gonna be open and I'm gonna be vulnerable with you. I'm gonna allow you to heal me. So those are some of the signs and the symptoms. I want you to write this down. If you have nothing to write it down, write it on your hand in blood. Write it down. Write it down. Any behavior fed by rejection will always be sinful. Any behavior fed by rejection will always be sinful. The reason being is because the motive is impure. The motive is impure. Even serving, listen to me for a second, church. Even in serving, if it is motivated or fueled by because of rejection, I'm saying yes to this because I don't want to be rejected. I'm telling you, it's sinful. And the reason being is because there's a whole host of issues that accompany that behavior. So you have to go back to, Lord, why am I doing this? If somebody asks you to serve in an area, pray about it. If you say, you know what, now's not the time for me to do that, that's okay. Let them wrestle with the Lord about that. But you don't say yes because no one else is. We put ourselves in a bad situation because we say yes to things when nobody else is. So any behavior fed by rejection, rebellion, offense, falling away, all sinful. The root cause obviously is rejection. Obviously, that's the root cause. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert, watch out, for your great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay, so now we know, here's what it feels like to be overlooked. I was overlooked in this area. Here's some of the behaviors that I may have experienced, I may have felt, that may have manifested in my life. Now, what's the treatment? The treatment is worship. Praise, pour out your heart before the Lord. This is one of the reasons why we love David so much, because in circumstance after circumstance after circumstance, we see him walk through something that's life-shattering, yet he writes a psalm about it. Yet he sings a worship song to the Lord about it. Lord, my heart is broken and I pour it out before you. In that moment, I want you to think about this. In that moment, when he was not even selected to be in the room, not even considered to be in the room to be anointed, yet he walks into the room. All his brothers are there. All his parents are there. Family's all standing around. And he's like, really? Could you imagine how he felt? Like, I wasn't even invited? He wanted all the sons, Dad, not just seven. I'm also a son. Think about the areas where he could have been offended. He could have walked in rebellion. He could have been disrespectful to his dad. Yet listen to what he writes in Psalm 27, 7 through 10. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk to me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Don't turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. O God, my salvation, even if my father and my mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. He wrote that psalm. David wrote that psalm. And I think about that in those moments where I feel rejected. I feel overlooked. I've been passed over for a promotion that I was next in line for. In those moments when you feel overlooked, do you pour out your heart to the Lord? Do you sing to him? Do you say in those moments, God, I'm gonna worship you no matter what. I'm gonna stay vulnerable before you because I know it's only here that I receive healing. And I know that there is a purpose behind what I'm feeling right now. I know that because I belong to you, there is nothing in my life that happens outside of your will, your hand, and that you take every situation and you use it for good. So I know right now if I'm overlooked, it's because you're working on the inside. When we get there, church, we receive healing and what we need. How many people over the course of history have been ministered to by that verse, those verses? How many people, because of one person's hurt and one person's pain, he writes a psalm to the Lord that has probably delivered many people, millions of people, out of a hardship. That's what he wants to do in us. He takes everything that we've walked through. He takes every circumstance. And when, like we talked about it today in Team Rally, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcome. And God does big, huge, amazing things. But it has to be in his timing, not our timing. David was promoted. He was promoted not long after this. We don't roughly know the time frame. It could have been about 3 years, is what scholars say, between 3 and 5 years. He was promoted up, but it wasn't in the manner that we think. Because what we want to say is that, yes, David, you know, was anointed king, and then he went and fought Goliath. But really, he was called up to service, to play his harp, and to sing worship songs over Saul, who was tormented. That was his first calling. That was the first calling. Guess where God worked on that skill? When he was overlooked. In that moment where he was anointed, but then he went back out into the field and he played and he worshiped and he sang to the Lord. It's in the hidden places. It's in the hidden season where God does a deep work inside of us. And then he gets us ready so that we can hold whatever he has for us. But some of us want a promotion and we want the blessing without putting in the work. And so in this series, we are going to put in the work. We are going to put in the work because I am confident that God has something for each one of us. I pray that there's not one person that leaves this series feeling like, that was okay. I pray that all of us feel like, man, here we go, God. 2023, what can't we do? That's my prayer. Worship team, if you would come. I want to ask 3 probing questions while the worship team is getting ready to play. And I always like to do this. It's the practical side of me. I'm like, don't just give me something without giving me a how to apply it. I need the applicable part of it. So here's the applicable part of it. I want to ask us 3 questions. The first is this. When was the last time you felt overlooked? There are some of you in here that might feel like you're overlooked in your marriage. There are some of you in here who might feel overlooked with your kids. There are some of you in here who might feel overlooked by friends, by family members, by people who are in authority over you. And then the second question to that is, what was your response? How did you respond in that moment? Was it sinful? Or did you worship? Did you pray? Did you pour out your heart before the Lord? Did you say, Lord, I don't understand. I actually was next in line for that promotion and I didn't get it. Did you close off, or did you say, you know what? This is my 2 weeks. I'm putting it in. Right? That's how we act sometimes. The third question is this. Do you trust that even in seasons where you feel overlooked, God is still working in and through you? Do you feel like that? Those 3 questions, ask yourself those questions this week in your devotion time with the Lord. Ask him to show you and reveal to you, how did you respond? How did you react? Was it godly? And in response to that, let's go this a little deeper. The action plan, the next time I feel overlooked or passed over, I will blank. I will blank. What are you gonna do the next time you feel that way? Because guess what? Next time is coming. That's how it works. As long as we're living, I want to sit up here and tell you, you're never going to be rejected ever again. And that when you got saved, God's angels cover you with their feathers and that you never feel any kind of hardship or hurt or turmoil. But that is not reality. And God has not called us to live in a bubble. He called us to live alongside people. And that means there's always going to be an occasion for you to feel rejected. Always. But what is your response? Have a game plan for when the enemy tries to deposit that seed of rejection inside of you. Block it. Because what I know and then what I'm confident in is if we look at that tree again and we see the surface, I really, in my mind, what I was praying, Lord, make that surface level, make it so airtight that any seeds of rejection that try to be deposited deep down inside of us, God, would you block them? Would you block them so that we are stronger in you and pull up those roots of rejection so that when good things come into our life, we can receive them in a healthy way. And that when bad things try to come in, we can block them and say, nope, that's not for me. Because I believe that. I believe and I'm so confident in that, that that's what he wants to do. If you would stand with me. So as we can see, Mr. Irrelevant was not so Mr. Irrelevant after all. That he was actually very relevant. And that David counted out, discounted, not even included, is actually very relevant. And God has called us to live similar to David because he said David had his heart. And that's what he wants for us, to have his heart. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power that's in this room. God, what I'm confident in is that even in those moments where we feel overlooked, Lord, when we felt devalued, God, I thank you that your presence is more than enough. Father God, that in you we have all that we need. And I thank you that as we get to the place inside of us where we can praise you when it comes and praise you when it goes, I thank you, God, that you are just gonna continue to deliver healing and minister. And that God, over the next 7 weeks, Lord, that you're gonna dig up roots of rejection. Lord, places where the enemy has tried to gain a foothold in our lives. We take authority over those places now. We ask you to expose them. God, open our hearts fully to whatever you have for us. Lord, don't let us walk in shame. Don't let us walk in condemnation. God, but I thank you that we're gonna be confident in who you've called us to be. And that God, as we put on the armor of God every single day, Lord, that those hooks the enemy would try to use to come against us, Father God, that they're going to bounce off. Lord, we thank you that we're going to present ourselves holy, righteous, worthy because of your blood, because of your sacrifice, God. I thank you that you've called us to live in freedom. We're not going to live in fear. We're going to live in freedom, God. And I thank you that as we do that, it's going to be attractive to the world. God, that people are going to say, I cannot believe you walked through that and that you can be normal. I thank you, Jesus, that you've called us, Father God, to live in soundness of mind. God, that we're going to take back roots and places of our thought life that don't glorify you, God. Those places where we would want to sit and feel sorry for ourselves and feel anxious and feel depressed. God, we take authority over those now in the name of Jesus. And that I thank you, Lord, even now, right now, Father God, you're delivering healing. You're ministering wholeness, Father God, to people. And I thank you for that. We thank you for the deep work that you're doing, the healing work that you're doing, Father God. And I thank you that as we present ourselves before you, Lord, that our faith and our works would come into agreement with your word and that it would become powerful. It will become life. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen.